Remember, the book of Ecclesiastes is called Koheleth. It's the words of the preacher. It's the words from Solomon as he describes to you and to me the tremendous transformation that has come over his life the moment he came back into a close relationship with God. And all the time through Ecclesiastes, we've been learning that he's doing two things. He's looking back over his previous life and when he was without God, and he's telling us how meaningless it was, without any real purpose, in spite of having so many of the things of the world. And that the second thing that he's really underlined for us is what he found when he came back to God. So we come to the third sermon now. There are only four. It's just one more to do. And in many ways, it's very similar to the other two that you and I have had a look at. The same message is going to come home this morning, perhaps just with greater clarity. So if you follow with me, you were all given the outline when you came into church on your church notices, and it'll also be on the outline. And what we're going to learn today, brothers and sisters, is very, very simple. It's very, very clear. And that is all our lives to focus on what is really important. The first thing that he does again, in chapter 6, which our brother Len led to us just now, is he gives to us this morning the three things that he found to be absolutely a waste of time. Three things he learned in his search for meaning which were a waste of time. And as I take you through those, I'm sure that you and I will have to admit that, you know, these are the very things that are being pushed by the world. These are the very things that people are urging us to achieve, urging us to work for, urging us to strive for, telling us if you get them, you've made it. But we're going to see how a biblical point of view is so different, friends. To think biblically is very different. The priorities are very different. And I'd like to try and bring it home again today. Right, what is a waste of time? Number one, the first thing is hoping that your wealth will last. Look what he says in verse 1 and 2 there. He says, I've seen another evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on men. God gives a man wealth, possessions, and honor so that he lacks nothing his heart desires. But God does not enable him to enjoy them, and a stranger enjoys them instead. This is meaningless. It is a grievous evil. Now, for some of us, we can look back a few years to, in my opinion, some of the greatest days in the history of Wimbledon. Remember, we used to watch Bjorn Borg at Wimbledon. He was phenomenal, eh? I think the best tennis player, but that's just my little opinion, ever. But when he got onto Wimbledon, nobody could touch him. He was in a class all by himself. He won all the prizes. He won all the money. He got all the acclaim of the world. Everybody bowed and scraped to this man. He was right at the top of his sport. He was right at the top of his career. He had everything. The world was at his feet. And it was. But the more successful he became, the more money he got, the more he wanted. And it's sad to speak like this, but I say it by way of illustration for you. What happened to him? It wasn't very long before his marriage was broken. Didn't take very long then for him to embark on one or two business ventures. All failed. And what I found personally quite sad was that not too long ago, He was in such great need of money that he put up all his trophies for sale. Do you remember reading that? Now, you know what? You can give a guy R1 million, 2, 5, 20 million rand, but that's nothing compared to the value of owning a Wimbledon Cup. But you see what he learnt? A big lesson. That money, wealth, doesn't last. We live in a world that chases money and chases the success that it so-called brings you. But often it lands up as a human tragedy. And here Solomon gives us a picture of someone who spent all his time building up an empire of luxury and of wealth, and at the end of the day, never to enjoy it. We need to remind our world today, money, success, popularity, whatever you want to call it, doesn't last. If I had to say to you just quickly like this, without thinking, who were the rugby forwards in the world rugby team when we won the World Cup in 1995? Who were they? You see, you'd get one or two, but you wouldn't get them all. They were heroes. The world thought they were phenomenal when we beat the All Blacks with that drop kick by Joel Stransky. But we've forgotten them. But if I had to say this to you, tell me this morning, when you were at school, which teacher made the biggest impact on your life? I bet you can remember that. Which is the person that's had the biggest effect on your life? You can remember that. And this is a tremendous reminder to me. Be very careful, we say to our society, of chasing what is meaningless, of chasing something that's not going to last. The second thing he found out to be a total waste of time is hoping that his wealth will satisfy. And that you'll find it there, of course, from verse 3 right through to verse 9. You see, he says a man may have 100 children. He may live many years. Yet no matter how long he lives, if he cannot enjoy his prosperity and does not receive proper burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. It comes without meaning. It departs in darkness, and in darkness its name is shrouded. Brothers and sisters, never forget that wealth, possessions, having all the goodies that this world has got to offer, will never ever satisfy your need. Never. And that's why that passage that Elaine read to us was so wonderful. Because on the other hand, we have learned that when a sinner comes and kneels at the cross and surrenders their lives to Jesus Christ, and Jesus becomes their source of living, their purpose in living, their security in life, I have come, said Jesus, to give you life. I have come to give you life in abundance. That's where the secret lies. So our TV programs, many of our magazines, they portray a lifestyle, they portray priorities that from a biblical point of view is chasing after the wind. Absolutely meaningless. It doesn't satisfy the cravings of the heart. What's the third thing that he found to be a waste of time? And that is from verse 10 to 12, hoping that things will change. Well, you hear people saying that all the time. It's going to get better. Things are going to improve. But he says, whatever exists has been already named. And what man is has been known. No man can contend with one who is stronger than he. The more the words, the less the meaning. And how does that profit anyone? Hoping, 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 hoping that things are going to change. But I want to remind you that they don't change. That the person that's on a road seeking for money, possessions, popularity, success, getting up the ladder and leaving the Lord Jesus Christ out of their lives is someone to be pitied. To leave Jesus out is foolishness. Those are a waste of time, says Solomon. Hoping your wealth will last, hoping it will satisfy, and hoping that somehow things are going to change. And so Stuart Olliott summarized by saying, for us today, he said, never have we had so many things, but they don't satisfy. This is clear from the way that today people expect the very latest invention to please him in a way that his existing possessions cannot. But he knows that whatever he comes to own or try, it will soon be gone. I want to encourage you, brothers. I want to encourage you, my sisters. Seek for treasures in heaven. Put your heart on things above. That's where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Now, secondly, and just there are just these two things, and it's all on the board here, and it's written out here in your brochures. Having returned from a lifestyle of meaninglessness, he then finds, well, what is worthwhile? And you know, it's amazing, isn't it? These old, wonderful values that we don't hear enough of today. Listen to what the Bible says to us. What's the first thing that is worthwhile? Honor. Honor is better than luxury. What an amazing thing to remember of. See verse 1? A good name is better. That's the word, you see. He's contrasting his two ways of living. A good name is better than fine perfume? What's better than fine perfume? A good name. One of the men in South Africa is sitting in a jail today. 34 million from what we know he owns. But he's in jail today. If only he had learned a good name is better than money. A lot of people need to learn that. Always remember that Jesus wants you and I to be remembered as a man of honor, of integrity, of truthfulness, who's faithful. That's what we want. We want you to be women of faithfulness, gentleness, sincerity. Friends, these things are of far greater value than luxury. Imagine if we had to say to top billing, when they take us to all these fancy houses, I always say to Mary, oh, those are quite nice houses. But I'm not too sure if I prefer my little place. Why is that? Because the Bible tells me that honor is better than luxury. The second thing he tells me is that seriousness is better than frivolity in verse 2 to verse 6. This may shake you. It is better. See what's coming out all the time? It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Not many people in the world will agree with you on that one, would they? You see, the world runs to the clubs. The world runs to the entertainment. The world runs to where all the fun and the good music is. All the frivolity. But the Bible is saying, just wait a minute. There's actually a better way. It's better to be serious than to be frivolous. It's better to go into a house where they've just lost a child or they've lost a dad or a mom than to go and laugh and jeer with people who are frivolous, focusing on very small matters, because you learn. Remember this little poem that some of you learned at school? It goes like this. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all that she had to say. But then I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word she'd see. But oh, the things that I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. To tell you, it's better to be serious in life than frivolous, focusing on the smaller, irrelevant things. Thirdly, he says, in verses 7 to 10, that restraint is far better than rashness. Restraint is far better than rashness. So he says, extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Not too sure if the Mercury would print that on Monday morning. You see, bribery corrupts the heart. That's what it does. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool. Show restraint. Learn to say no. Honor is better. Seriousness is better. Restraint is better. And fourthly, wisdom is better than wealth. Verses 11 and 12. Wisdom is like an inheritance. It's a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Of course it is. It's a good thing to be wise, to get your wisdom from Jesus in the Bible. It's a wonderful thing. It's far better than all the money in the world. That's what Solomon has learned. Be wise. Come to Christ, in whom all the wisdom of the world is to be found, and more. The one who is wiser than all the queens and kings of the day. Come to the Word. Come to Christ. Wisdom is far better than wealth. Submission is far better than rebellion, he says in verse 7 to verse 13. Far better. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? Don't argue. Don't get down. Don't get depressed. Don't ask God, why, God, have you done this? Why did you allow it? That's what Solomon is saying. Submit to God's will. It was a service, some of you, I think I mentioned it to you at the Oggs. Some very dear friends of ours, I had the privilege of marrying them about 10 years ago now, up in Underberg. And during last week, their little child of 8 was knocked over and killed. It was a very sad, sad thing. But what stunned everybody was when his mother spoke. And in summary, what Mom said is, she was like an evangelist. She said, you know, God knows our hearts are breaking over little Timothy. But what makes our hearts even more sad is to think that some of you may not join him in heaven. Those were her words. It's quite amazing, isn't it? No bitterness, submission. My Father in heaven has promised me that all things work together for good. Submit. Don't rebel. But you know the greatest thing, brothers and sisters, this morning, the most wonderful thing that you and I could ever have in life is godliness. When you strive for anything or work for anything, that's what you go for. Oh, that God may make us godly. Now that lovely hymn, breathe on me, breath of God. Remember that, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Dear friends, that's the greatest. To be godly, to be like Jesus, in the way you live at home and in the way you would have in the office, the way you drive your car, the way you wash the dishes, the way you play your sport. The greatest honor that anybody will ever pay you is to say, you know, that man is a godly man. That woman, she's a godly woman. There's nothing better than that. The world chases after success. The world chases after money. The world chases after materialism. The world chases after these things. But deep down at the heart, the most important things are neglected. Revelation is better than reason, he says in verses 22 to 29. When you and I are confronted with an issue over which we are not sure about, where is the answer, what is true, we turn to the revelation of God's Word. And here at our church, we love the Bible. With all our failings, we love the Bible. You listen to Pam teaching the children? She teaches the Bible. You come to Ogs tomorrow morning, we teach the Bible. Come to Ladies for the Lord, teach the Bible. Come to Men for the Master, you'll teach the Bible. Why is that? Because revelation is better than reason. Our reason has been affected by sin. But here is a flawless word from the living God. Discretion is better than stubbornness, he says. It is. Absolutely releasing us from so much of the temptations of the day. And then lastly, the fear of God is better than evil. When I'm in doubt what to do, you and I come and say, what would Jesus want of me? The fear of God is better than evil. And so, my dear friends, this morning, nothing new. Nothing new. Many of you have heard these for many, many years. But you know what happens? Is that our materialistic world and our humanistic culture, when they're putting out their TV programs, when they're editing their articles for the newspapers, many of them are far away from these things. And here this morning I want to speak to you as a brother and say, be careful. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. What is absolutely a waste of time? Believing that your money is going to make you a happier person. Don't believe it. It's not true. Don't believe that if you're going to become more successful at business, you're going to have a happier marriage. That's not true. It's not true. The greatest thing you could have is godliness. Pray for that. Work for that. Strive for that. Spend time with God in prayer for that. Spend time in the Bible. And when you put your priorities, say, my priorities are on the things above. That's where my heart is. That's where my passion is. That's what I live for. That's what governs me when I spend my money. That's what determines what appointments I put in my book, my diary tomorrow morning. The way I determine my appointments, the way I spend my money, the way I spend my time, it all depends. Where is your heart? Solomon is saying, put your heart with God. It's an amazing chapter, isn't it? May God help us to be wise. Let's pray. Father, as we go on our way home now, we thank you for being with us this morning. We are so sorry for often allowing the world to squeeze us into its mold, so to speak, Lord. But we want to be transformed this morning by the renewing of our mind, so that we may know what is your good, perfect, and acceptable will in all matters of our lives. And we pray that as a church, and as men and women, moms and dads, we may, by your grace and through your Spirit, have a heart that is focused on Christ. Help us not to get caught up with the rat race around us. Part us, we pray now, with your blessing, and we pray that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be upon you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.